I'm Katie Clark. I'm a mom of three, luxury matchmaker, and a no-nonsense dating coach on a mission to help singles reclaim their love life one date at a time. In today's dating landscape, from apps and swipes to texting and ghosting, so much has changed. But you know what I've found out still actually works best? Old school standards with new school style. Teaching my philosophy on how to date like an adult, no topic is off limits. I address everything from taboo to trending in dating. So grab your earbuds and get ready for some practical dating advice, saucy stories, and new inspiration to find your way to true love. I've helped thousands of people be confident, feel successful, and to have some fun dating along their journey. And I'm here to help you too. Thank you for joining Dating with Katie today. We are talking about, here it comes, air quotes, the work. The work in dating, the work in self, the work in relationships. Often you've heard people say, well, I've done the work. Have you done the work? It's in bios. Like, make sure you've done your work. I was just chatting with my buddy Sam. He's got a great podcast. Shout out to him. Kind of a business equal, and we're just bouncing off ideas. And he's gay. And he's like, Katie, I've done so much of the work. I want to meet a guy who has done the work. And, you know, I said, well, what is this work? Like, everybody says it. I see it often in my matchmaking database. I need to figure it out and I want to share about it. So today we'll be talking about the work. But before we do that, do me a huge favor. Click that subscribe button. Really doesn't change anything for you. Just lets you know when a podcast is coming, which happens once a week. But it really changes things for me. It gets us moving up there. It gets the word out of all the great podcasts that we have. We're almost to number 100. I'm telling you, before 100, I'm going to do a podcast on kissing. I have just been too nervous to do a podcast on kissing, but it will get done. So I hope you're listening, joining, watching, whatever. Send this to a friend. Make sure you get in my database. If you love what I'm teaching you, I've got master classes coming up. I've got some great ideas. I'm going to be changing some things up, so you want to get in the know. All right, well, moving on to the work. You know, tell me, I mean, raise your hands out there. Like, if you've said, well, I've done the work, Katie. I mean, I get it. You've done this work, but let's talk about exactly what the work is. And I want to share with you a client that I have. I love him dearly. I really want to see him in a happy relationship. He's a little bit older. He's nearing the 70s. Like, it's time. It's go time. And so for him, you know, we were chatting about this woman that he really likes. And he says, you know, well, Katie, she goes to rehab a lot and she's in her 60s and she has a drinking issue. But then when she's not drinking, she's great. Had another girlfriend this week say she's dating this great guy, except for he's not great when he's drunk. And those people, no matter how many rehabs they've gone to, if they're not being consistent, they obviously haven't really done the true work. And it's hard for me to listen to a friend who, both friends are so great, but they're kind of stuck in these relationships. And really, you end up attracting what you are. Or sometimes I even said this to my male buddy, my client. I said, you know, you've got this hero complex. Like, you've got to save her. You can't save her and you can't waste your time waiting for her. You can only love what loves you back. You can only be with someone who wants you back. And, you know, she's always wishy-washy and back and forth about him. But when she's drinking, she really likes him. And then she's not drinking. And then, I mean, look, you only got so much time. You can never get your time back. So you only want what wants you back. And of course, you want that to be an equal. Now, I never say, I'm looking for the one, Katie. I'm looking for my perfect match. Like, there is nobody who is that, you guys. So I always just say you're equal. And that is a reminder that whatever you are is what you're going to attract. You know, you attract what you are is what I like to say. So if you are looking for someone who's done the work, you're gonna find that, but then you're gonna find a lot of people who are below that as well. You always attract the lesser as well because you're attractive to the lesser people. Whenever I talk to you 20%ers, you know who you are, you're gonna attract 80%ers because they want what you have. They want to be a part of your world, but they haven't done the work to be a 20%er. And if you don't know what a 20%er is, go back and listen to a couple of my podcasts. I talk about it all the time. You're cool, you're quality, and you're ready for something great. So with that being said, I made a list. This is going to actually be in chapter 2 of my book. And I was writing it today. I had actually written some out, and then I started just typing away, and I thought of all the different things of people who have done the work. So we're going to knock these out. But people who have done the work typically have seen a therapist, a counselor. They've done some somatic healing. Maybe they've done some healing on trips. They've maybe written things down and thrown it away. They journal. They're into growth. They've done a freedom group at their church. You know, they've done recovery groups. if people speak to these things, then they are either working through their work or they've done their work. So that is always a good start when you're on a date and you know, you can ask a question as simple as this, like, so what is your biggest way that you like to grow? You know, how do you define growth, or what's growth to you? Like, do you listen to podcasts? Do you read books? Those are other ways that we can tell people are growing and looking to grow and change and be better. That's the win here. But these are 12 things that I wrote down that are more specific to what the work looks like. Now, I hope you as well are doing some of these things. If you have some bitterness, if you have anger, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, you still need to be going through the work. To have a really great relationship, you're going to need to rid yourself of those things. And it's not a, oh, it's going to be one and done. I wrote on a piece of paper, I tore it up and I burnt it, so therefore I'm good. No, it's a daily choice to be that kind of person who is going to be doing these 12 things. So, you know, this is an encouragement to you, not only to be looking for that person, but to be becoming that person. So number one, the person who's done the work, they make things right with others, with their finances, or with themselves. So I have a girlfriend who, she was always working through some poverty issues. Just her and her husband were always just kind of broke. She's very creative, very crafty, always trying to do these little things. And then she told me the other day that she owes like $25,000 to the US government. And I'm like, girl, you got back taxes? You need to pay that. You need to do the right thing to get that blessing. You need to, and this has nothing to do with dating, but it's a real life example that maybe things aren't working out over here because you haven't done this right over here. So maybe it's with others. You have some apologies to give. You have some forgiveness to release. You have your finances are not in order. You have some bills to pay off. You have some debts that you have incurred. And maybe it's with yourself. You haven't forgiven yourself for some things. But the person who is doing the work is making these right. And maybe right now you can't think of anything that you need to make right. But maybe ask maybe ask God to show you. Sometimes there are things that you're like, oh, I forgot about that. Or, oh, you're right. I do have this apology to ask for. I do need to ask my children for forgiveness. I do need to ask my ex for forgiveness. I do need to move on from that. So ask yourself, look deep, see if you can find anything else that needs to do that. People who are doing the work, they want to heal. And they want to heal because they know that the hurt is only hurting them. So they have a mindset that reminds them that, you know, being cranky about your ex-husband and always putting him down is actually only hurting you. That bitterness is only hurting you. And it doesn't make you look pretty, ladies. I'm just shouting out to the ladies here. It is not a good look for you, right? When there's harmony and peace, you can see it and feel it in a woman's spirit, in a man's spirit. It is so much more attractive. So you want to heal. So you're searching for ways to heal. You know, again, you're going to podcasts. You're talking with a therapist and a counselor. And then another thing you do is number three, you sow into others. So people who are healing want others to heal as well. And they understand the principle that what you sow, you will reap. So they understand that giving their time, maybe giving their talent, maybe if you were, you know, a victim of domestic violence, you are now giving back into a home where these women are hiding out for a little bit. You understand that because you were a part of that and you're going through your healing. So maybe, guys, if you're dating a woman who did have to deal with domestic violence, I have three really good girlfriends. They all dealt with it in their 20s, and they're now divorced from it. Like, three men hit them was intentional about hurting them, which blows my mind. It's a little scary. So, but now they're looking at sowing into others and sowing into their own selves. Number four, if you have done the work or doing the work, you have your house in order. And this is almost like Dating with Limitations, my podcast, because you've got to get, you know, your finances in order, your health and wellness in order, your children in order. You understand that you shouldn't be jetting out dating if all these other things are not in order. So some of you have some sicknesses. Some of you have some other things not in order. Your house is a disaster. Some of you, I've walked into clients' homes and the house was a disaster. I'm thinking, who wants to date this? Like, I've even seen people with their dog was not in order. Okay, their dog just barked, 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 barked. I'm sorry, listen to my Dating with Dogs podcast because it's unattractive. If your dog is not even in order, and when you tell it to sit, it doesn't sit and keeps jumping on me, I don't ever wanna come back to your house, let alone date you. So get your home in order. And your home also includes your body. It includes your emotions. It includes all of those bigger principles. Number five, you can regulate your own emotions and you can handle the emotions of others. Now, this is what EQ is, and that's podcast, I believe, 36 of mine. You know how to regulate your emotions. And look, this is what men always say about women. Oh, women are crazy. And this is what they're talking about. They're talking about women and their emotions. Okay, so women aren't crazy. I mean, they like that little craziness in a woman that are fun and, you know, wanting to do some fun things in fun places. Like, let's be honest about that. But they're not excited about the cray-cray of your emotions. You've got to get that in order. And one of the things I always tell people is, what's the deeper issue? What's the deeper reason why? Again, I said this to my kids when they were little, like, what are you crying about? Figure out what is the deal. If you're hurt, if you're cut, of course, I'm going to attend to that. But what is it really? Because the thing is never the thing. Okay. It's always a second thing. And I shared about that, I think, in a podcast or two ago, where I didn't get time with my husband on the weekend. So I was cranky with him on Sunday night. You know, and he probably did something and I thought that's why, but that really wasn't why. I was cranky because I had given up my Saturday date night to be with a girlfriend. And then I'd also given it up to be with his daughter. And I was cranky about that. So I had to figure out what the thing was. So always ask yourself, you know, what is the deeper reason why? And then can you handle others' emotions? Now, my husband is steady as a rock. He is not Mr. Emotional. But to have a high EQ, he has to handle my emotions. And that's not always easy for someone who's like, I don't understand. Why is this woman crying? Why is she so emotional? You know, and men will often, you know, they'll step back from that. They will stonewall. The Gottmans call that stonewalling. So you're not a stonewaller. You can dive in. You can embrace another person's emotions. You're not afraid of it. That is a huge EQ. That's a big work. Like, even I've had friends lose babies. I've had friends lose children and I've never lost them. So I don't always know what to say, how to approach them. Do I hug them? But moving in on that and just leaning in and doing your best on that, that is somebody who's doing the work and they're trying and they're growing. So that is a win. They also look inside to figure out their deeper issue, which I just touched on. So again, you're going deeper. You're like actually going backwards too. It's like, what happened in my childhood? Obviously, I'm not the person to teach you all this stuff. I have done courses of my own. I've sat through and thought through memories. Like, did this happen in my life? Was this, you know, my dad did this, my mom did this. Now look, I never throw my parents under the bus. They did the best they knew with what they knew. And so, you know, one time my counselor was like, well, your mom, I was like, whoa, don't go there. No. My mom did her best. We got to be careful so that, you know, we don't have therapists throwing our loved ones under the bus. But so make sure that you can figure out some deeper reasonings why. Number seven, people who've done the work are just good communicators. They can communicate their feelings. They can communicate locations, places, times, plans. I mean, people who kind of have a growth mindset and are strong in that sense are good communicators. All right, number eight, they know how to lead without passivity. So, you know, they might be a leader in one area, but maybe not in the relationship zone. And so they're working on it. And obviously, if you're a leader, you can't be passive. But here's the next one, too, because you can't really be a leader unless you've been a good follower. Now, I have a friend and they're always trying to succeed in business, but they never, ever believe that they should be under somebody. They were never under somebody. And they will not be under somebody. And one time the opportunity came where he could have been under a woman who was doing really well in this area of business. And he said, never, I'll never be under a woman. And I can tell you to this day, he's in his 50s, he has just never really succeeded. He's never gone past the next level. And I think it's because he could never be a good follower. He was never able to follow without just being reluctant. You know, he just didn't want to do it. And I think he missed the blessing. He missed the understanding of you've got to become a follower, a good follower first, and my pastor calls it followership, to be a good leader and have leadership. So both of those issues or both of those you know, characteristics are important in people who are doing the work. Number nine, there is a self-awareness of who they are and of their behavior. So there's an ownership and a self-awareness of, yep, that was me. I own it. So when I was a teacher, yes, I was a high school teacher, culinary arts teacher. Like, you'd think every kid would love making brownies, like, and gourmet grilled cheese sandwiches. But some of these little punks, I tell you know, they're still just high school kids and they would be talking and disruptive during class. And I had a big sign that said, own it. And so when they were being disruptive, instead of calling them out, I mean, this isn't second grade, this is ninth grade at this point, I would just stand there and we would wait and we'd do a little countdown clock and I'd actually take up their time. They couldn't leave until, you know, I held them over after class. Every kid hated it, but it's like, don't waste my time. I'm gonna waste yours. But the point was, is that eventually the students would look at the other student and be like, dude, own it. You're talking. Like all the peer pressure, it was great, would call that student out. And the one thing I asked is that the student who knew was doing it would just go, sorry, you know, sorry, Miss Clark, that was me. They had to own it. And I didn't stop counting until they owned it. You know, of course, sometimes they'd be like, well, they were talking to me. No, you own it. Like it is next generational negativity because kids are not owning anything, but adults aren't owning anything anymore. Well, it was my ex-husband's fault. Well, you know, they're a narcissist. Like it's always everybody else's fault. But people who do the work own it. Again, on a date, you know, like I'm late. I'm sorry. I own it. I should have left a little bit earlier. Do that. I dare you, rather than, oh, there was traffic. By the way, if my date was late and said there was traffic, you know what I do? I check the phone. Because I'm like, dude, if you're going to be lying to me, that's not cool either. So even though you want to say it's traffic, it might not have been, just own it. Just say, I'm so sorry I was running late. That is on me. I don't like to be late. I'm sorry. I will definitely try not to make that happen again. That is such a mature way and a growth and somebody who's doing the work. Okay. Moving on, they hold accountability for their choices. So that means they're actually looking at having other people hold them accountable. So again, that's why you would have a therapist. That's why you would have a mentor or a coach. When I work with my clients, how'd the date go last night? I just had a client text me, hey, Katie, it wasn't a right fit for me. This woman, she talked too much. And then, you know, but what did she say about me? And she said you were kind of negative and you were getting cranky about something that she wasn't even involved with, but she heard you on the phone. And so that accountability is really good. The feedback and the accountability, those people want that. They're open to it. I mean, I've had clients say, you know, or you guys have asked me, Katie, can I ask a person I went on one date with for feedback? Absolutely. You can say, hey, I thought you were great. I'm sad it didn't work out, but I'm trying to grow here in my singleness or towards a relationship. Any feedback would be great. Now that is a person of a high EQ and someone who is doing the work to grow. And lastly, they seek to bring solutions and ideas towards growth and improvement. So in the relationship, in dating, in first, second dates, one, they're communicating well, so that's already a win. And then secondly, they're looking for solutions. Like I used to teach my kids, what's the creative solution here? Like, I really don't want to hear about your whining. I don't really want to hear about how this isn't working out for you. Okay, this is how creative solutions are created because something's not working. So even in my relationship with my husband, in your dating relationships, you know, those first three dates, let's say there's just not a lot of chemistry or maybe he's not really moving quick. Well, what's the creative solution to that? Most of you would just be like, next, you swipe, you dump, and you move on, right? Disposable dating, I'll just go find a better guy. How about the creative solution of someone who's growing and doing the work would be able to communicate, hey, look, I think you're really cute and I noticed you haven't kissed me lately or kissed me yet. I just want you to know I want you to kiss me. I mean, I just had a girl say that there was no chemistry between her and my client. And I think what it really was is that he didn't move quickly on her, which he doesn't like to move quickly. But I can still see where she might be thinking, oh boy, he doesn't like me. He's not physically attracted to me. I mean, there's that fine line of sometimes where women are like, oh my gosh, he hasn't kissed me in three dates. Am I not cute to him? So you've got to be able to be directive with guys. Ladies, I say this all the time. And men, what you need to do is foreshadow. So communicate that, you know, I think you're really cute. I'd totally like to kiss you. I mean, these are simple things that people who have an EQ, they are doing the work, they can confidently say that. And to end all this, it's the confident person that can do this. And so when I say I want you to get confident, be successful, and have fun dating, you should be doing all of these things and confidently doing it. Like if you were to go back and go through these on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you with accountability? Do you have anybody helping you out with your dating life, with your financial life? I mean, look, I'm a dating coach, but like in all these things, you need to have somebody keeping you accountable. Or are you just keeping your little life in secret and you're doing things that are not of benefit to you? You know, are you a good follower when people ask you to follow? Are you positive and encouraging to them? Are you a good leader? Is your home in order? I mean, do you have someone who can come in and be like, oh my gosh, this house is a mess? Do you have a woman who can come by and be like, ooh, this is like a boy pad. You need a man pad. So you need to be having those people. and kind of these necessary orders in place so that you can be growing in your dating life and you can say that you have done the work. Now, if you need some help, I'm here to coach. I can tell you this as a coach, I am pretty darn honest with you. I will tell you about your photos. I'll tell you about your bio. I will tell you about your dating life, maybe more than you want to hear, but I have to say I have a great success rate. So many of my clients are in great relationships when they listen and they do the work. All right, you guys, thanks again. Send this to a friend, send this to an ex, whoever you need to send it to. But make sure that you also subscribe, and we will see you next time on the Dating with Katie Show.